Happy New Year, Mr. Mayor Don McCormick.
Happy New Year, Paula and Bill.
It's, all of a sudden, 2016.
I know.
I am amazed when people say or when I read, this is going to happen in the new year. I say, oh, really? I have a sense of opportunity on a larger and lesser scale, but I don't have a sense of finality or crystal ball. Where are we? From whence do we go forth?
Well, my crystal ball has always been fairly murky. I mean, the best you can do is kind of point yourself in the direction and do the best to make tracks.
Well, and that's kind of what Darwin says. You do something and then something happens and then you adjust.
Yeah, so interesting though. I mean, the course, for the current year is always sown in the previous year. Mm-hmm. And I think that from a Kimberly point of view, we've had a really, really good year from a number of different perspectives. And certainly from a council perspective, you know, I think we collectively, if I can speak for the other elected officials, we've had a foundation year with respect to this term that we are in. And to be honest, I think we've had results this year that far exceed anything that we would have expected, you know, when we finished the election last year. Foundation years are usually building blocks that you don't see an awful lot of, you know, result from.
Well, like what? Like the Cranbrook-Kimberly Development Initiative, like the...
Yeah, well, if we just take a look at the metrics that you typically use, you know, you saw that BC Assessment sent out the assessments this past week. Mm-hmm. They're arriving in the mailboxes soon. And it was kind of interesting because I've already had one individual very jokingly complain that his assessment went up. And
this is a good thing.
It is an absolutely fantastic thing. I said in jest, but there is this view that if the assessments are going up, then your taxes are going up automatically. And of course, that's not true. It's relatively complicated how the increase in assessments actually finds its way back into, your local tax bill.
I didn't know that.
Over time, as assessments go up, yes, it does have an effect on your tax bill. But for me, having the assessments go up as much as they did this past year says that we had a very good year in the community, that there's optimism, that there are good things happening. And when that happens, when a community feels very optimistic about things, mm-hmm. Growth happens.
Becomes growth, a virtuous cycle.
Professional growth, financial growth, all of those things, exactly. And so I think that would be one.
I wouldn't have thought of assessments as being a good thing. Thank you,
Mr.
Mayor.
Now, in what came out, though, from BC Assessment, there was this this thing called, I'm trying to remember the exact name. It was... It wasn't the assessments of existing property. It was new construction. Mm. So it's the term that's used for the assessment on new construction in a year. And for Kimberly this past year, it was just a shade over $14 million. Mm. Now, to put that in perspective, in our financial plan last year, we planned for 7. And we actually achieved 14, a net of 13 point something.
Now, does the city get to take credit for that?
Well, you know what?
A lot of people taking credit. I
will say that when things are bad, there's always enough blame to go around for everyone. And when things go good, there's enough credit to go around for everyone as well. So I think it's a combination of a number of things. Mm-hmm. And it's cumulative, too. I mean, let's face it. You know, this council has only been in place for a year, and it would be... you know, silly to think that all of the good things that happened this year are simply because of this particular council or leadership group. That's not true. There's lots of things that have been, you know, cumulatively happening over time. Those kinds of indicators from a, you know, from a financial point of view, you know, lead the way. Financial health leads the way to being able to do lots of other good things in the community.
So does that mean that our tax base has improved by virtue of $14 million of X, Y, and Z?
Absolutely. It is. We're building on a foundation and improving, you know, long-term, we will improve our tax base. And of course, that's very important. And I've been saying that nonstop for the last 18 months or so, that new money is what we need in town to be able to take some of the pressure off the existing residential and business taxes. And things like the Cranbrook-Kimberley Development Initiative, those are programs right now and initiatives that we're starting. And we're not going to see the result of that probably for at least 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years to see appreciable results. But the fact is, if you don't start today, you know, it doesn't happen.
And those 5 years go by in a flash.
Well, as a matter of fact, Paula, 4 years, new council comes in. In that fifth year, a whole bunch of really good things are going to be happening.
And, or something will hit the fan.
Yeah, no, a lot of really good things will be happening. There's no doubt about that.
You, I took a few minutes to read the summary that Scott Somerville put together, looking at the basically the economic base.
Right.
And
he being the chief operating officer for the city.
It was in some ways daunting. In some ways, it was, I didn't feel a lot better having looked at it. On the other hand, that it's being looked at, to me, is progress. But that looks like it's going to be an extraordinarily complicated process. And I guess two questions. One, how do you see that working its way through? And secondly, what kind of community engagement is required in order for that to be an effective process?
Now, tell us first the name of the process. I mean, give me just the, what are we talking about?
Well, what Scott Somerville, our chief admin officer, has done is gone back and reviewed the last 15 years of data, corporate data, city data, and looked for trends. That whole thing is really a trend analysis, and the idea was to spot the trends, the good and the bad, use that as a foundation to understand what are the key things we need to do, what are the hot spots that we need to look at moving forward for not just this budget year, but subsequent budget years. To our knowledge, that analysis has never been done before. There is this tendency in government generally to look at things in one-year increments. Mm. And even though Kimberley has had a 5-year financial plan, and I guess for a number of years after the mine closed, really a 10-year financial plan, the focus is on the next year and at most the next 2 years. Everything else beyond that is placeholder, subject to change based on the experience that you have in the current year. And it gets back to the crystal ball thing, Paula, mm-hmm. and that is that, you know, no crystal ball is clear enough that I've ever seen to be able to predict more than about 24 months out.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking in economic terms, so what we're talking about is a really high discount rate.
Yeah, it's true. So I guess the whole purpose behind that was to, as I said, identify trends. And in the analysis that you did see, the report that Scott had done, that was really the purpose of that. And if you saw the report itself, I'm not sure if you saw the report. It is available online on the city website. It has a number of recommendations in that report that that Scott brought to council for direction back to staff on things that need to be done to say, okay, if this is the data, what does it mean, and what action do we need to take in order to you know, either keep things going the way they should be or improve those areas that need improvement. And there was a long list of recommendations in that report.
In the Hollywood version of this, or I guess the Vancouver version of this, we would have found, Scott would have discovered a large something or other that all we had to do was correct that and we could live happily ever after. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any sense of that. No. Again, reading the summary, this is going to be hard work.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot of different areas. And I think that in smaller communities, that's the case. I mean, let's face it, we have less money to work with and very high demands for levels of service, you know, especially for cities the size of Kimberley. You know, 5 to 10,000 people is a very, very difficult population to deal with. If you're under 5,000, one example, is you don't have a big bill from the RCMP for your policing. Mm. As soon as you hit a population of 5,000, you pay fairly dearly. And in our case, with 6,700 people at last census, our bill is about $1.2 million a year for the RCMP.
Holy cow.
If we were under 5,000, that bill would be minuscule. Huh. It would still cost us something, but it would be nowhere in the neighborhood of the 1.2
million. So you're arguing for depopulation?
No.
I'm not going to go there. what I would argue is that with the infrastructure that we have in place now, Ideally, we would like at least 9,000 people to be able to support that infrastructure. And so we're a couple of thousand people short of kind of, you know, the ideal state at this point. Whether it's 9 or 10 or 11 is irrelevant. That 9 is kind of a minimum that is going to give us that much more money to be able to service what we already have.
Speaking of infrastructure, we out our big window watch the flume as it moves. I know it's your favorite subject, the one you love to hate or hate to love. I can't remember which.
Yeah.
That's something that's on everybody's mind because it's so visible, and that's an easy thing and a quick, how we doing?
Yeah, it is. I guess, you know, it has dragged on. There is no question that...
this is January.
It's January. And there's two ways to, I think, look at it. The community, for the most part, is looking at just getting the project completed. And when it's completed, it will be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
There is no question that if you take a look at the before and after pictures mm-hmm. and take a look at what that perception is of our community, even though it was a safety thing, was the reason that was done at the end of the day, the positive impact on the perception of our community will be probably unparalleled in anything else we've done in a very long period of time.
Yeah.
High, high impact.
Yeah, and there's also the freshet when there's going to be a whole lot of water coming off the mountain, and I live pretty close to, say, the Mark Creek.
Absolutely, Paula, and we're going to look at it and say, what's the big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's not even going to be half full. This is the thing, you know, it's going to be spectacular.
Until it isn't.
We just have to hope that at the top end, where the flume starts, that the water level coming down there isn't so much that it overflows at the top. Because at the end of the day, if we did have a 200-year event, that's exactly what would happen. And, you know, so we'd have some level of flooding in any event.
Yeah.
But certainly the big risks associated with previous flooding, you know, are definitely mitigated. So that's a very positive aspect of it. There is also a view from a financial point of view that, you know, we're just trying to make the best of what has been kind of a bad thing for the last 4 years. And I'm going to be very happy to have that completed, whatever the outcome on it. And to be very candid, there are going to be issues. There's no question we're going to end up probably in arbitration of some kind. But at the end of the day, it will be done. The community will be happy, and we'll move on.
A project that complex is going to, it's there are going to be challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, from the outside looking in, it appears to me that if some of these hard discussions had been had during the first phase,
mm-hmm.
that this one would have been a lot more straightforward. It seems in some ways we're correcting the failure to hold the contractor's feet to the fire the first time around.
Well, there were many things about that first phase, Bill, that have constrained us. Yeah, and you know there were it's a much longer conversation, but decisions were made early on that have had an impact and continue to have an impact, and that's it was best laid plans.
Well,
the fact was
you were doing the best you could under certain circumstances, I trust.
Yeah, absolutely, and there were just some things that, in the interest of urgency, ended up not necessarily being the best planned, and so we're still living with that, and we're going to do the best we can to get through it.
Which takes us back to this plan that we're now talking about. If we had been looking for, you know, ahead in a systematic way, a lot of the problems that we're still addressing would, it'd still be problems, but they would not have the magnitude and probably not the same cost that we're
faced
with.
We would hope so.
Yeah,
we
but that's so that sure. sounds that could sound like Monday morning quarterbacking. And at some point you say, and it's been a tough transition to go from a deep mind that had a very specific mindset, and it was a company town, to a different place.
Yeah, it's true. I guess there's a really fine line between dwelling on history and learning from it.
Yeah,
and you know, I think that what we've learned some significant things.
And, we hope so.
And
can we continue this sexy conversation about infrastructure
about the
other things we've learned?
The key is not to make the same mistake twice.
Yeah,
that's what we're
find new mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So there are two other elements of infrastructure, I think. And, you know, I think everybody understands the issue that not only Kimberley, but most municipalities have with aging infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as bad as what is made out to be sometimes in the news. I think a lot of it is posturing for the feds in the province to ante up more money. I mean, there's always this selling that's going on.
You mean in our town or in all towns?
All towns.
Oh.
The reality is that this is our issue and we have to figure out a way to deal with it, whether or not the feds in the province come up with more money or however much money they come up with. And so with our planning, that's exactly what we're trying to do. So, for example, we just had an increase in our utility rates, you know, water, sewer, garbage, and...
Which still in the world at large is very low.
It is, but it certainly wasn't taken lightly either. Because whether it's deemed to be low at this point in time, any increase over that is going to, you know, cause some consternation.
Yep.
More with some elements of the community than others, but nonetheless, it's still up. It's an inflationary thing. And we have a lot of fixed incomes in Kimberley, and so we have to be very cognizant of that. However, there are also things within the community charter and within the Local Government Act that we have to operate within. And with respect to water and sewer, we have independent funds that we manage. We manage those almost as independent businesses. I guess that would be one way to look at it. And so over the last number of years, the reserves were not built sufficiently in those funds to sustain it over the long haul. And so the changes that council has made over the last really 24 months, including the latest increases that have happened the 1st of January, have now made, we're at a point right now where both the water and the sewer fund are now self-sustaining. So we will be able to replace water pipes in the ground based on the reserves that we're building for what our requirement is going forward. So this was a major step. And it wasn't just this council, it was the previous council that had taken the initial steps to make that happen. The third major infrastructure area comes from the general fund, which is things like roads and, you know, other services other than sewer and water. And we have about $1 million a year deficiency right now in staying even with depreciation.
Mm.
You know, of all of those assets.
And depreciation will bite you after a while.
So what that basically means is that we need to find another $1 million to invest every year in that infrastructure in order for us just to stop the bleeding. That's not to get ahead and get it, you know, back to where it needs to be. That's just to stop the bleeding. That's a substantial issue. And it's a lot of money for a small community like ours. And so one of the key things that staff is working on right now is how, in fact, do we manage that? Where's the money going to come from? How much do we need? How do we transition? At what point are we going to be at break even? All of those kinds of things. And that's why this report, this trend report that Scott had put together was so important, is because it's giving us data on how we are doing relative to these various areas of service in the city.
In my experience, depreciation is essentially a bookkeeping entry. And what I think you're talking about, and that's why this trend report is so important, is that this depreciation actually affects the diminution of the real asset as opposed to just a simple straight line, double declining balance accounting of what's going on.
That's exactly right, Bill. Now, the truth is, and some would say, that when you finish the complete depreciation of an asset, that doesn't mean that you throw the asset away, that there's still life left in the asset. And that is true. The more life that's left, the better, and we really would like that. But it is a proxy for the useful life of a particular asset. And once you are fully depreciated, you're on borrowed time. It could be tomorrow, it could be next month, it could be next year, but at some point in the near future after that, that particular asset will need to be replaced. So to that extent, that depreciation is definitely there is a relationship between the depreciation from a financial point of view and the actual life of the asset.
And we're almost out of time, so I'm going to give you an open-ended one here. Running a city is complicated.
Yes, it is. There are a lot of moving parts. It is true. I think what my own personal philosophy, and I know that of Scott, and really I think the rest of council feels similar to this, is that we need to operate on the principle of incremental improvement. we can't look at radically changing things because it has too much an impact on other things, especially when you've got scarce resources. We just don't have an awful lot of money to work with. So what we do in one area is going to have an impact on our ability to maintain another.
And imagination can be that immeasurable something. It isn't just the money that we have in this community. It's the imagination of what to do with it.
Absolutely.
So we must, it seems to me, never feel constrained by just the money, that there's this bigger thing. That's what's the overused word of what's the vision? What's the imagination? So it's not just budgeting.
No, absolutely, Paula. And in fact, that's really the challenge. You know, everybody, when times get tough, however you define tough times, there is this tendency to look at cutting back. You know, let's not spend as much, or let's do away, let's reduce that service or do away with this service. And that's not really a productive path to go down. When things get difficult, you still need to invest. You still need to spend money. It's a question of where do you do that? And, you know, the Sun Mine is a pretty good example of that. You know, I think that if you were to look at, do we have somewhere where we could have spent $2 million and had a positive effect somewhere else? The answer would have been, of course, we've got countless places we could have spent that money.
But not anything like the world-changing impact.
Well, correct. And we did it in such a way that it is, again, as a standalone business, is not going to be a draw on other finances in the city. So despite the fact that we don't have a lot of money, we've been able to do that in a way that is very productive and not counterproductive anywhere else.
Well, we have a whole year to talk about that, don't we?
I guess we do.
Let's do it. Come February. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.